like to make it 10.
Welcome back, everybody. This is First Up. I'm Matt's cousin, Farron Karolnik. That is Carlo Koliakovo. The Toronto Blue Jays lose 7-3 to Baltimore. A tough start for Kikuchi. A tough night for the offense as well. And join us to discuss it all from the Toronto Sun, one of our favorites. It is Rob Longley. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for doing the show so early.
Good morning, fellas. The sky is falling, isn't it?
Well, it's not that the sky is falling, but it's
the sun is out, though.
The sun is out, but it's a little cloudy. We'll go with that. I want to start here, Rob, and it's a question I threw out last week, so it's not like anything I just thought off the top of my head. But I want to give you two options. What is more impressive, when Scott Boras got Gerrit Cole a record contract for a starting pitcher, a 9-year deal for $324 million, largest ever given to a pitcher? So that's door number one. Door number two is Kikuchi's 3-year, $36 million deal, convincing the Jays they needed to spend that on an all-star. Of those two contracts, which one's more impressive?
Well, if we were in Vegas, it would be minus 30,000 on the Kikuchi. It's a miracle.
It is a miracle that a guy who had half a good year a couple years ago that got him into the All-Star game, it was able to parlay that into the deal he did. And you tweeted out that was going to be his last, not is, but could that be his last start? I don't know how, I feel bad for the guy just because he's had a lousy year. I just don't know how the Jays continue to trot him out there.
Yeah, it's becoming near impossible now, especially with Ross Stripling coming off of the injured list, you know. And they've given him every opportunity, right? I mean, they put him on the injured list for 15 days to sort of get his head together under the guise of a neck injury. They keep trotting him out there all the time. They keep saying that they believe in his stuff, and you know, he can throw fastballs, he can throw strikes, he just can't do it consistently enough. But John Schneider alluded to it last night. We're getting to the point of the season now where, you know, experimentation and hopes and prayers aren't enough. You've got to win some ball games, especially with the way things are going right now. And, you know, every time he goes out there, this team is in a hole early, it feels like. And I get the sense anyway that the offense is feeling it as well, that the hitters are feeling it every night that they get in a 3-0 hole or a 4-1 hole or whatever it might be on a given evening. It's like, here we go again. Now what are we going to do? And it's just a deflating situation whenever you say Kikuchi takes him out. And I don't see how they can continue to trot him out there the way he's been.
Well, Rob, I was talking earlier about an approach they can maybe try with Kikuchi is maybe just give him a number of earned runs that he gives up every time he pitches. And once he hits that number, you take him out, because it just feels like they're trying to give this guy the chance to turn it around, but they overstretch him. And when they overstretch him, that's when things sort of get out of hand in his previous starts. And we discussed with Steve Phillips, you know, a bunch of times, even with Buster Olney, that maybe an approach with him is to start an opener and pitch him in the middle innings. I don't know. I imagine you are too. I'm kind of lost with options here and what you do with this guy, but I mean, what's the last resort here with him? Do you put him in the bullpen? Do you designate him for assignment? Do you allow him to go to the major league or minor leagues and maybe sort himself out? But if it was you and you had to handle the decision, what would you try?
I do like the opener idea a little bit, because at least you get into the game in a bit of a softer situation if you manipulate it properly, or you start towards the bottom of the order. I don't like the bullpen idea, because the last thing you want from a guy in the bullpen is a guy who can't throw strikes, right? You bring him in a situation and he can't find the plate, and whatever that situation might be, it continues to snowball. But I think the biggest issue with him is mentally. You know, he just doesn't seem to be able to pitch with any confidence, and it's been that way all year. And, you know, even if you listen to his answers through the translator, it's like he can't figure out what's going on here. Like, he's been working on things with his technique and with his delivery, and he just seems to be lost right now. He'll pitch, you know, he got ahead in the count with his first four batters last night, but what did that do? It didn't do anything at all. He gave up a run in the first inning and gave up that two-run bomb in the third, and it was just, you know, snowballed from there. So he's a guy who certainly has some physical issues, but I think it's more mental right now. what do you do with him? I mean, maybe you see if he can go down to Buffalo, to AAA, to sort of sort things out a little bit. But time's running out, you know. And now they've got Mitch White and Ross Stripling as potential starters, and maybe you keep him around as a guy that you need in an emergency situation, because it's possible you might need a sixth starter down the stretch.
Rob, when you're looking at this Blue Jays struggles, you mentioned Kikuchi, and it's pretty obvious the struggles that he's had. What's more deflating? The Blue Jays knowing that Kikuchi is starting, or the fact that they know they can't beat the Orioles right now?
Yeah, that's a good one, Carlo. It's got to be a little bit of both right now, because, you know, if you remember, all we heard about when the Jays were sort of battling through and grinding through the early portions of the schedule was, man, we have a tough schedule right now, but wait till the last month and a half of the season when things look up for us and we've got these 15 or 16 dates with the Orioles. And, you know, that's when we're going to make some hay. Now, all of a sudden, they can't beat the Orioles, and they still have a dozen games left against them. So, and games that are going to mean something, because while I don't necessarily see Baltimore as a playoff team just yet, they're going to keep playing like they are the rest of the way because they're that close. And, you know, what we're seeing is some of the Jays' weaknesses exposed when they play a team like Baltimore that's got a pretty good bullpen, that seems to be able to perform in tight games and manufacture runs, things that the Jays could do at times this year, but have had a lot of struggle doing of late.
And yeah, you figured after they traded away Trey Mancini, I'm like, great, they're waving the white flag. It's going to be easy pickings for the Blue Jays, but it certainly hasn't been. And again, they lose to Baltimore 7-3. We're joined by Rob Longley from the Toronto Sun. And we know that the team, they've lost 7 of the last 9. And this goes beyond, you know, Jose Barrios and having the worst ERA, or Kikuchi with another bad start. And he's got an ERA over 5 in his 20 starts. You mentioned, Rob, the offense. And they've scored 7 runs in the last 4 games. Bichette, double play in the third inning. Chapman popping out to short with 2 on. Guerrero, game-ending double play in the ninth. A lot of the problems with the Jays is not just the starters. It's the offense not being able to come through with men in scoring position.
Yeah, they're certainly struggling, right? I mean, I think I tweeted something out on Saturday that they hadn't scored a run since Tuesday. Now they had a rain delay and then a day off, but it's still been a run of 16 innings. And that offense should not ever go through a stretch where they don't score a run in 16 innings. And I wonder how much of it might be a confidence issue. I wonder how much of it might be sort of a sense of deflation when your starting pitching puts you in a hole early in a ball game. It's like, man, we got to go through this again. We got to score 4 runs just to get back in a game. I mean, they know that they're good enough offense to do that, but over the grind of 162 games, that takes a toll on you mentally when it feels like anyway that, you know, 3 out of 4 nights you've got to come from behind. I wonder a little bit about the approach of some of the hitters. Certainly much has been said about Bo Bichette and the swing and miss that he seems to have a lot in his at bats. He heated up for a little bit there last week, but pitchers seem to know that they can get him to chase on pitches. Vladdy's coming around a little bit. You know, he's hitting for average, and he had that 22-game hitting streak, but he's not hitting for a whole lot of power anymore. And yes, he hit one out last night, but he doesn't seem to be the same Vlad Guerrero Jr. threat that he was last year. Chapman, I think you're getting what you get from him, right? He's always been an inconsistent hitter. He's a guy who can hit for power, and you know, he has hit for power. He's got 23 home runs or whatever it is, but you know, his consistency, I think the Jays probably expected that to be a bit of an issue going into the season, and they felt it was a fair trade-off with the defense that he brought. But when you've got when you mix in guys like Espinal and Kirk, who were so hot before the All-Star game and have been so cool since it was over, and since they had that moment in the spotlight, there just doesn't seem to be any momentum anywhere in that lineup right now.
Rob, what do you know about the Springer injury or situation that the Blue Jays are working with right now? I mean, we saw him activated off the IL yesterday, which was a welcome sight, but apparently he's going to be DHing for most of the rest of the season. That's probably not a promising sight, knowing that he's probably dealing with something more serious.
Yeah, if I was a betting man, and I am, I would bet you that within 48 hours of the Jays playing their last game this year, whenever that might be, they'll announce whatever sort of off-season surgery he's going to have. And Springer hinted at that a little bit yesterday, that he's, you know, that this thing isn't going to get resolved until the season's over. So reading between the lines, that means that there's something that's you know, fairly seriously wrong there, and they're just trying to piece it together to get him through the season and have his leadership and his presence in the lineup a factor down the stretch. But when the team basically is acknowledging that he's going to be DHing for a fair portion of that, both verbally and by the moves that they made in acquiring Merrifield and picking up Jackie Bradley Jr., then you know the injury is a lot more than maybe they've indicated publicly. It's been, you know, 6 or 7 weeks now that this has been going on, and it's not improving. And Springer basically said as much yesterday, that, you know, he's going to have to manage it the rest of the way, and that the 10 days on the injury list didn't necessarily fix anything. It just kind of gave it a bit of a rest. Do I think he could still be a factor? Sure, I think he can still be a presence at the top of that lineup. He's the prototypical leadoff hitter, and he's clutch in that situation, and he tends to be in his career clutch in September and October. So they're just going to try to get as much as they can out of George Springer, and they need him. I mean, they need him at the top of that order. They've got guys who can play center field now. I still think he's as good a center fielder as anybody they've got on the roster, but if they can't throw him out there because he can't throw, then you're going to just have to hope that he can be a presence at the plate.
Read his work in the Toronto Sun covering the Blue Jays. It is Rob Longley. Rob, always appreciate it. Thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
You as well.